Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to our SearchWindowsSecurity.com podcast discussing what's hot in the Windows security world for September 2007. Joining us today is Kevin Beaver. Kevin is an independent information security consultant, speaker, and expert witness with Atlanta-based Principal Logic, LLC. Kevin has written 7 books on information security, including Hacking for Dummies. He's also the creator of the Security on Wheels audiobook series. How are you today, Kevin?
Mighty fine, David. Thanks. Hope you're doing well.
I am. So, Symantec recently made some headlines talking about how they want to change security philosophy from blacklisting to whitelisting, where instead of deciding what information and files are bad and then blocking them, they decide instead what is a good or trusted file and acting accordingly. What's your take on this new approach to security?
Well, technically, it's nothing new. Most people have been doing this with firewalls for ages. You know, the stance is simply to deny all and then set up trusting rules to allow only what you say needs to get through. You know, the same with email whitelist to combat spam and things of that nature. We do this quite often in security these days. But I guess if you hypothetically move this concept over to Windows and software that runs on the OS, you'd simply say, okay, here's a Windows operating system. Nothing's allowed at first. No internet, no email, no apps, no nothing. And then the admins would have to get in and actually approve what's allowed. You know, what executables can be run, what DLLs are trusted, and things of that nature, like Internet Explorer, Outlook, Word, Excel, things like that. So, you know, really, this is already available via some of the host-based IPS and data leakage software applications, and it's really even available to an extent through Windows software restriction policies that could be created at the domain or local system level. So what this new way of security is going to require, though, if you know, Symantec does take the lead and they are able to get everybody to turn this thing around and incorporate it into all software that's developed, and it sort of leads into the Windows operating system and applications and things like that, it's going to require a new mindset from admins, developers, security folks, and even users, and that could be a huge barrier.
Well, do you think that it's something that could actually work then?
Well, I think so, if we could ever get past that curve of thinking about what's trusted instead of what's untrusted. It'd be tough keeping the list of known good apps updated for all enterprises across the world, you know, and every single executable and potentially DLL files and other supporting executables, you know, especially with all the possibilities with commercial software, in-house software, shareware programs, open source, you name it. So. That actually brings a new thought. I would be curious how web applications and active content within web applications would actually be handled. But anyway, what vendors can't afford to have happen is the user experiences like some of us have had, really all of us have had in the past with personal firewalls, for example, that prompt the user every single time an application wants to talk to the internet. You know, what typically happens in those cases? Well, the user just clicks OK to run the app, and they move on, and nothing really changes. No security has been increased. Nothing has really been blocked. The user just wants to get in, get out, and get their work done and not have to worry about that kind of stuff. So the last thing we need for something like this to create is more administrative overhead and more user problems. So I think it's a good idea, but I suspect nothing major is going to happen anytime soon.
Well, shifting gears now, also making headlines this month is Microsoft's 6th annual Blue Hat event, where outside security researchers and internal Microsoft engineers get together to discuss the security trends and tactics that affect Microsoft. Could you tell us what to expect to hear coming out of Blue Hat?
Well, they usually keep things on the down low, especially going into the meetings. I have seen that they're supposedly going to be discussing security surrounding virtualization and process isolation, things like that, the whole new virtualization stuff that's coming out in Windows Server 2008 and subsequent operating systems. And even apparently there's going to be some discussion on Windows Mobile. I suspect it's going to be a mix of current Microsoft product discussions and exploits, along with what could be done down the road to make their software more secure in the future.
Do you think the meetings are benefiting Microsoft and the IT community as a whole, or do you think it's more for show?
Well, it's hard to say for sure since I haven't been directly involved in any of the Blue Hat events, hint, hint, Microsoft. No, seriously, I suspect it's mostly beneficial to Microsoft and really all of us indirectly, at least in the future. If they didn't want to get any publicity out of it, they certainly wouldn't be announcing Blue Hat to the world. I guess it's their way of holding themselves accountable and giving back, so to speak. I'm definitely eager to hear what people have to say coming out of the event, and maybe we'll be able to get at least some snippets of insight into what we can expect, you know, 1, 2, 3 years down the road. They do have a Blue Hat blog website on TechNet. You know, people can just Google Blue Hat and blog, and I believe it's the first link that comes up. So on that site, they have links to past Blue Hat content, so hopefully they'll have some of the same type of stuff or more stuff posted up there soon from this year's event. It's certainly worth checking out if you want to stay on top of what Microsoft's doing with security.
Okay, great. Well, that's it for our podcast today, What's Hot in the Windows Security World. I'd like to thank all of you for listening today, and of course, a very special thanks to our speaker, Kevin Beaver. Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.